Israel broke their solemn promise. Only a few days had passed since the Hebrews had stood trembling before the mount, listening to the words of the Lord, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The glory of God still hovered above Sinai in the sight of the congregation, but they made a calf in Horeb, and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox. Moses in the mount was warned of the apostasy in the camp. "Go, get thee down," were the words of God, "thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." God's covenant with his people had been disannulled, and he declared to Moses, "Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." The people of Israel, especially the mixed multitude, would be constantly disposed to rebel against God, murmur against their leader, and grieve him by their unbelief and stubbornness. Their sins had already forfeited the favor of God. If God had purposed to destroy Israel, who could plead for them? But Moses discerned ground for hope where there appeared only discouragement and wrath. The words of God, "Let me alone," he understood not to forbid but to encourage intercession. If entreated, God would spare his people. God had signified that he disowned his people. He had spoken of them to Moses as "thy people, which thou broughtest out of Egypt." But Moses disclaimed the leadership of Israel. "They were not his, but God's, thy people, which thou hast brought forth, with great power, and with a mighty hand." Wherefore, Moses urged, "Should the Egyptians speak, and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains?'" During the few months since Israel left Egypt, the report of their wonderful deliverance had spread to all surrounding nations. Terrible foreboding rested upon the heathen. All were watching to see what the God of Israel would do for his people. Should they now be destroyed, their enemies would triumph. The Egyptians would claim that their accusations were true. Instead of leading his people into the wilderness to sacrifice, he had caused them to be sacrificed. The destruction of the people whom he had honored would bring reproach upon his name. How great the responsibility resting upon those whom God has highly honored, to make his name a praise in the earth. As Moses interceded for Israel, the Lord listened to his pleadings and granted his unselfish prayer. God had proved his love for that ungrateful people, and nobly had Moses endured the trial. The prosperity of God's people was dearer to him than becoming the father of a mighty nation. God was pleased with his faithfulness and integrity, and committed to him the great charge of leading Israel to the promised land. As Moses and Joshua came down from the mount and drew near the encampment, they beheld the people shouting and dancing around their idol, a scene of heathen riot, an imitation of the idolatrous feasts of Egypt. How unlike the solemn and reverent worship of God! Moses was overwhelmed. He had just come from the presence of God's glory, and he was unprepared for that dreadful exhibition of the degradation of Israel. To show his abhorrence of their crime, he threw down the tables of stone, and they were broken in the sight of all the people, signifying that as they had broken their covenant with God, so God had broken his covenant with them.